Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Valentainment.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Susie going toe to Tobin.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on YouTube. And joining me today is a man who's just my favorite. It's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast Podcast. What's up, Ronnie? Happy Friday.
Oh, hi. I love a Friday.
I know. Me too. It's such a nice time of the week because it's the end of the week. So we're really excited today, especially because two of our shows went on sale for the public today. We had some Patreon pre-sales going on, and now our Cincinnati show and our Portland show, Portland, Oregon, are both on sale out to the public. So everyone should go buy those tickets. I just looked. Cincinnati, we are selling really well with Cincinnati already out of the gate. There's like less than 100 tickets left. There's like maybe about 75. Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I was just like, there's like a little map online. I was like counting up the dots. So, because that's what I do. That's like, why haven't I gotten ahead in Hollywood? Oh, I know why. I'm counting dots on the internet.
Counting dots.
Yeah. So anyway, there's not a lot of tickets left for Cincinnati. I'm personally very excited to go to Ohio for the very first time. I was telling the good people of TV Party who are tuning in right now as we speak. This is being simulcast over TV Party app. I was telling before the show began that I've never been to Ohio, and I've always wanted to go ever since my childhood friend Elise Rugenberg taught me the Ohio song, which I believe goes, Ohio. And that's all I know about the song. But I've
Ohio.
Ohio. Also,
that's all you know of the Ohio song? That's lame. Come on.
Do you need to know more? Do you need to know more?
Yes.
Ohio. Ohio.
I like what I like about Ohio.
Flat the grass.
What I like about Ohio is that Ohio is like perpetually pleasantly surprised. The beginning of the state is always perpetually surprised by the end of the state. It's like Ohio.
Hi. Ohio.
It's like, whoa. Ohio thought it was just O, then we didn't realize it was another O. Oh, hi, O. Ohio.
Do you have O face? Do you have Ohio face or Blowhio face, Ohio?
My first girlfriend of all time, my very first girlfriend. Yeah.
I like when you get all butch.
Yeah. My first girlfriend was from Centerville, Ohio. Her name was Kate Berenstein, I believe. Berenstein. She was from Centerville. We dated for a week at Long Lake Camp for the Arts in the Adirondacks when I was in eighth grade. So clearly, Ohio is in my blood. And I mean, we never kissed.
But... a week of it.
So we're excited to go to Cincinnati.
In your blood test.
So we're excited to go to Cincinnati.
Oh, Ohio.
And of course, there's like a million other places we're going to. Phoenix, Dallas is the one that's coming up soonest, so everyone be most motivated by Dallas. And like, just for laughs, a bajillion places. Go to watchercrappens.com. You don't need to hear me go through the entire list again, but go to watchercrappens.com and make sure that you got a ticket to one of our shows near you, because we don't want you to miss out.
Yeah, don't miss out.
Don't miss out.
Okay, so today, Top Chef. Did you mean to be in a roaring 20s depression?
The best part about the 20s is that we all get to dress like flappers. No, Gail, not flapjacks. Flappers.
We're not talking about Gail waving to incomers.
Gail loves the 20s. It's when she gets to put on her favorite dress, a barrel.
Who says Gail isn't in the opening of Top Chef Kentucky? Look, she's right behind us. It's those barrels, those oak barrels behind them.
So, yeah. It's Top Chef Day.
Okay, here's the weekly note. We're not making fun of Gail's weight, okay? We're making fun of Padma secretly hating Gail.
Which you we don't even know if that's confirmed, but we just believe that that's true. So we just go with it.
Yeah, we just made that shit up.
So the episode like opens up. What'd you say?
Just like life.
Just like
okay, life. This season has a habit of making people feel really good about themselves and then kicking them off. They've done it almost every week.
Yeah.
Where someone has just won a challenge or two challenges, yeah, and then they finally come to like have self-confidence again. It's like the opposite of a feel-good show. It's like a feel-shitty show.
Yeah.
You know, like Nene's like, I finally have confidence. I can be here with these boys. I can totally be in the same room with these guys. Finally, I deserve. Nene, please pack your stupid, unworthy knives and get the fuck out, you loser.
Yeah, well, it's like the cutthroat world of restaurants in and of itself, you know? One day you're in, the next day you're out.
That is fashion, actually. That's fashion, actually. Yeah. That is fashion. In a restaurant, once you learn how to cut a carrot properly, you ain't ever leaving. I'll tell you that much. It's
one
like
day, one day you're peeling potatoes, the next day you're in Gail's stomach. So the episode opens up. Normally, the episode opens up where they, instead of doing like previously on Top Chef, they sort of show like instant reactions from the end of last week, and then they scatter that with flashbacks. You sort of learn what happened, but then you get like react. It's like a whole thing that they do, and it's usually like a minute or so, and it's like a lot of people talking and flashbacks. But this year, it was like Hannah Gadsby waking up out of bed, being like, "I needed that win. I needed to feel confident. Feels great." And it's like now we Top Chef. I was like, oh,
yeah.
They're like, even the producers are bored with this guy.
Yeah, you don't get to enjoy yourself at all, Napoleon Dynamite. He's like, oh, Gar, I feel so good about finally winning, like, finally here. And I was like, this guy is either going home or he's majorly fucking up today.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we cut to Kelsey, who's getting ready next to Earlobes, Adrian. And she's like, oh. And she's like, Earlobe's like, I'm missing Nene today. And she's like, I literally feel like an 85-year-old woman, okay? I'm 29. I'm not even 30.
Nice, like, subtle brag, nice, humble brag. Right? isn't that what that's all about?
Yeah, she's a humble bragger.
Yeah, exactly. So so basically, what had happened was that Nene was fired, not fired, but she was kicked off because of restaurant wars. And so she's now in Last Chance Kitchen, and she's battling none other than Brother Luck, who, I don't know, I have never been able to embrace Brother Luck. And some people in Denver told us that they had met Brother Luck, and that he's like, they're like, he's nice, but he's become really cocky since the show began, since last season, Top Chef Denver. And by the way, Top Chef Colorado, whatever it was, by the way, send love and prayers to Fatima from last season, because she just posted this like really heartbreaking thing from her hospital bed, being like, just want prayers. And in case you don't know, she has been suffering from terminal cancer. So we are sending our crappins love to Fatima from Denver.
We are. We're going to really rag on Brother Luck for you, Fatima.
Yeah, just for you, Fatima.
Or Fatima.
Fatima. Fatima. It's actually, yeah, Fatima. Fatima. Yeah, Fatima.
It says it like that. We're like, feel better, Tina. Like, we're getting like the name totally wrong.
Feel better, Karen. We're like, what?
Yeah, we're like, we're really here for you, Leslie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brother Luck, thanks for taking like a Brother Luck slam and turning it into like a sad cancer story. Okay, come on, let's.
No,
keep,
I'll get back.
Keep on our lane.
Listen, no, I feel like it, I felt like that was like important to me. It was important to me, but it's also equally important for me to mention that one of the reasons why I've always hated Brother Luck is because in one of his first episodes from last season, he's like, see this right here? This is a tattoo of mise en place. It's just sort of like life. You need to get your stuff together. I'm like, shut up. That is so basic. It's so stupid.
But mise en place is pretty funny. He's like, look, It's like preparation. It's like somebody who's really into camping, instead of like making a tattoo of them camping, they make a tattoo of them packing the car to camp.
Yeah. You
know? Brother Luck never really did anything wrong, but I can't be behind somebody named Brother Luck. That is the douchiest fucking name. And it's like, you're not a rapper, dude, okay? You don't get to just make up your own name and put Brother and Luck in it.
It's not even a rapper name, though. It, like, Brother Luck, it's like some
an Irish rapper.
It's like a really, I don't know what it is. I don't understand what Brother Luck is.
It's a monk rapper.
Brother Luck. I mean, his parents are both exotic dancers, which I think is really interesting and fascinating. So I feel like that should make the name Brother Luck be sort of cool. I think the reason why I don't like it is... His last name is not Luck, right? Just go by Brother, or I don't know.
It's a made up name, you know. And I had this roommate who changed her name because, like, she had a bad reputation, I think. And so she's like, I'm going to be a new person. Which, I mean, it's her name was like Amy we're Fisher. 35. We were like 35 or something at the time. It's like, I don't know that you really get to do that. But okay, you know, hey, I'm behind a reset. So she's like, my new name, I shouldn't say her new name because she'll know who she is. Okay, let's just say, like, my new name is Fire Alarm. And I'm like, what?
This is a Cruella de Vil.
I'm like, Fire Alarm? Who names themselves that? And then my other roommate was like, oh, Fire Alarm changed her name, so I'm going to change my name to, like, Home Security System. And I was like, oh, God, now we're just all changing our names? You know what? Sometimes you have to live with your rap sheet. And so I'm very bitter about people changing their names in midlife. Brother Luck. I don't like it. But then it turns out he's a big, bald, chunky guy who's pretty nice and talented. And I was like, I should be behind him, you know? I should be behind my bald brethren.
No, but, like, the mise en place tattoo is really... It sets the tone, and then the Brother Luck, the name, you're like, mm-mm. The only way I could get by the name Brother Luck is if he's had a string of bad luck, and then it'd be like, ooh, I feel bad for him. He's been, like, burdened with that, you know?
Yeah, if it was ironic, yeah. If, like... Yeah, if it was ironic, Brother Luck, like if he, you know, didn't have any siblings and he had really bad luck, then it would be fine.
But he always was so pretentious last season, and then he continues to be pretentious. Like, I don't know. He just drives me nuts for some reason. So so basically, Nene is in Last Chance Kitchen with him, and, like, this is, like, whoever wins is going to come back, and they are doing a little mini restaurant war situation where they have to do three courses with their concept. So I actually, last week, I was so caught up by Restaurant Wars that I watched the first half of Last Chance Kitchen.
And, oh.
Yeah, look at me. And so I watched it, and basically the challenge was Tom Colicchio was like, all right, well, Restaurant Wars, so I want each of you to come up with a concept for what your restaurant would be, and then do a signature dish. So Nene made something. I forget what it was. It was on this, but I don't remember what it was. And Brother Luck made this, like, jalapeno popper. And he's like, this is, like, a thing that I've made a lot. So basically he made something that's, like, clearly
a jalapeno popper.
But it was, like, a up
market. Elevated.
One. Elevated jalapeno popper.
It was an elevated jalapeno popper.
It was elevated. It has its own cabaret show. Hit it, boys. Hot, hot, hot in the mouth. I'm popping off because that's what I am. Jalapeno popper.
These mouth sores aren't from kissing. They're from jalapeno poppers.
Just wearing a giant jalapeno costume on stage. Hello, Terrytown. So, it's going to be that kind of day. So, anyway, so I'm like, okay, so on top of everything else, you're using a tried and true recipe, which I feel like, of course, I would too. But it bothers me that Brother Luck would do that. And that, like, Nene... basically, like, went home because of it ultimately. But anyway, so I'm like, already I'm like, you're cheating. You're not, like, this is already on your this is already on your restaurant menu.
But don't they all do that? I think that's what they do. Like, you come up with things. It's like a skill thing, like the Olympics, you know? Like, those people practice. They're like, oh, I did a horsey jump or whatever the fuck they're doing. But horsey, I don't know.
I think it just bothered me that Brother Luck did it. Like, it bothered me because it's like, come up with a restaurant concept. It's like, he already has a restaurant and this is already on it. I feel like it was, I don't know, lacked creativity to me. But I think it's because I'm just predisposed to be, like, angry at Brother Luck.
So anyway, yeah, me too.
So the chefs come into what they think is the quick fire. They're in their normal kitchen, and then Nene and Brother Luck are cooking like crazy. And they see Brother Luck and Brian, who is like the Hannah Gadsby one or Napoleon Dynamite. He's the one, he goes, wow, Brother Luck is the most dangerous man to ever compete in Last Chance Kitchen. I'm like, okay, it's he did not, like, this is not the Thunderdome, okay? He was not, like, on, like, elastic bands with a chainsaw, okay? Just relax. It's Last Chance Kitchen. He put cumin on a pepper.
Danger! What? I'd like to think he has a cold or something, you know, where they're like, oh, it's dangerous for him to be in the kitchen. Like, the man made a jalapeno popper, okay? Like, let's all stop pretending that it's like Emerald
the
coming
most
in here.
Dangerous man and Last Chance Kitchen. It's like the lowest stakes ever for Danger. That's what I love about, like, that's what I love and roll my eyes about with chefs on Top Chef, just how ridiculous they can be so much. Like, hey, I got this tattoo of a fork on my arm for when I was sleeping in a gutter because I'm a rebel. And what we have here is a sunchoke pate.
I like when they do things like jalapeno poppers and they're like, it's a green chili from northern Wisconsin and it's lightly battered in gold dust and fr-conk-da-conk-dong. And then lightly battered in a... I'm like, shut up. It's a jalapeno popper. Stop jerking off with your descriptions.
What we
okay?
have here is a jalapeno popper. You'll get some notes at the end of heat, and in the middle, there'll be some broad cheese flavors. It's a jalapeno pepper. We know how it works.
So let's see. So Nini's all excited, which really worries me because people with positive attitudes, like I've said a million times already, don't make it far on this show.
No,
okay,
never.
Chefs are supposed to be miserable, ex possibly still battling heroin addicts. Okay,
yeah,
that's it. There's no in the middle of it. Like, there needs to be some, you need to have slept in your car for like years. There's
dropped
no
out
just
of
like
high school.
Happy chef that's great.
Yeah.
You know? No one's like, I'm well adjusted and I have great parents.
Yeah.
I'm a chef.
You know who was well adjusted and had like nice parents was the girl in the first girl eliminated this season. She was like, well, I decided to choose love instead of going to Italy. It was a rational choice. Like, why do that? Like, bye.
I chose happiness over
I chose mom jeans. Like, I'm going to sit on this stool in Last Chance Kitchen all season.
I know. She was so cute, too. They show her in Last Chance Kitchen because they show all the people who have been kicked off. And I was like, oh, blah, 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 come back to me.
I
love
know.
Her. She was so cute, and she was so misguided with her blush. You know, like, it's like one of the – it's like gay charity where you just see someone you know you can help. You know what I mean?
I know. She looked like she's probably like 27 and was styled like she was 65.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is actually something very important that has nothing to do with Top Chef or anything that we ever cover.
Good,
but
good.
I saw
That's how
a commercial.
I, like it.
I saw a commercial today with Joan London.
Oh, my
Joan
God.
London
is
she doing
still with us?
She's doing crazy shit with her hair. Her hair was up and then back. I was like, Joan London, it was like a... It was a commercial for senior living or whatever. She's like, hi, I'm Joan London. I was like, Joan London, put down the hair dryer. What is happening to Joan London? Okay, she has like some weird Brigitte Nielsen do. I was like, I need you to bring back the waspy, you know, like shoulder length hair, please.
Yeah, I need London hair. I think that when you go from being on the news where you have stylists every day, it's like that episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey where they had to like dry their own hair. And Teresa's like burning herself with a curling iron. Like, they don't know how to do it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, we're in minute two of the show.
Yeah, so they're doing the restaurant.
Brother Luck is there, and Eddie's face is so funny to me. He's just like, Brother Luck.
Well, because he knows he's going to like...
He always just looks like terrified, you know?
Because he's probably going to like trip and then like knock everything over and ruin it for everyone. We should mention, so basically all the chefs are assigned to be like sous chefs for... our main chefs. They're all cooking and everything, and everyone wants Brother Luck to lose, which is hilarious. Nini's restaurant concept is Mekong Delta meets the Mississippi Delta, which I think is a really cool idea. I love that. And Brother Luck's is Sun Blossom, which is Southwestern in Japanese, which I'm not opposed to, but I just hate the name Sun Blossom.
Yeah, I don't like that name either. It sounds like a Hollywood child.
Yeah. You sounds know, like literally the child different. Of Mayim Bialik. Sun Blossom. So the son
of Mayim Bialik.
And then Brother Luck is like, you know, the Southwest is where I'm from, but Japan is where my soul is. I'm like, you know what? Please.
Yeah, your soul is wherever your parents were last stripping. I think that's a general rule. I'm from Japan, but my soul is at the Spearman Rhino.
My soul is in Van Nuys.
Well, that would at least explain him making jalapeno poppers like strip club food.
So the first course, they present the first course. So Nini gives up a po' boy style fried shrimp with fish sauce and chili glaze, which I thought looked amazing. I wanted to eat it right off my TV. But Tom was like, oh, that's good flavors, but the breading's just a little dry. A little dry.
I like that Justin was like, what kind of fried shrimp? She's like, like for a po' boy. He's like, now what do you want in that shrimp? She's like, for a po' boy! But then everyone's reading for Nini, right? Because they know her. And I think that they can beat her because it's really rare for a chef to be like, we just like them because she's on our team, on our season. You know, it's like, I think you just want to beat Nini because everybody's so mad that Brother Luck's there.
Yeah.
And Sarah's like, I don't want him here. I mean, fuck that guy. He had his own chance already. What the fuck should I have to do with that? And I was like, ooh, surly Sarah. I love her. I love how surly she is.
Yeah, she is really mad. So Brother Luck, he serves up a tempura, the jalapeno pop or whatever, and Tom didn't feel the pickles were pickled enough, whatever. So now, second course.
I love Tom's utter befuddlement. He's like, you know, this time, pickles weren't pickled enough. I mean, it's too pickled. It's not pickled enough. Like, how many chances do you get for a pickle? It's a pickle.
Some might say that this might put you in a pickle. If you know what I'm saying? I tried that joke on my son, the mixologist, but he didn't get it. Maybe because he's a mixologist, or what I like to call a failure in life. So then...
like I like to call a dropout at night school.
Is that? I mean, how hard is it to be a mixologist? So...
He did say it like that. He said it in the way that my mom goes, this is my son. He has a blog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the same tone.
I totally skipped ahead by mentioning it, but it's true. He was like, yeah, I have a son. He's a mixologist.
And then he starts laughing like kids. Basically, he's a person with a rich father and doesn't think he has to work for a living. Yeah. So there's that. You know, what are you going to do?
So David, the guy from Elizabeth, New Jersey, who kisses ass to all the judges, he is in charge of making Nini's pork. And, of course, he totally fucks it up because it's dry and doesn't have any flavor. So she serves.
Oh, and he's like, oh, we're going to do this great, Nini, because I was on the team that Nini was on. God, I'd hate for Nini to lose because of me. That would be terrible. She's like, this sucks. This is so dry.
Yeah. She's like, could you please stop talking and take the pork off the grill, please? Thanks.
And then when Padma ate it, oh no, actually when Nini saw it come off, because it looked like it's perfectly medium, right?
Yeah.
Well, it looked undercooked to me, frankly, but what do I know? I'm not a big pork fan.
Yeah.
But it looked medium, and she's like, this somehow looks too dry. Like, how can it be juicy and dry at the same time? That's a talent, Jersey.
Did you mean to take a commercial break right now?
Well, I think the big lose was right here in the third course because no chef, I'm so sorry to other chefs out there, but I just know this from watching the show. No chef respects the dessert chef. They never have and they never will. Yeah. And when Nini's like, well, I started as a pastry chef. I'm like, I wouldn't brag about that because that will get you kicked off of this show.
Yeah.
They hate me. They hate pastry chefs almost as much as they hate vegans on this show.
Yeah.
Or like the healthy cooks, you know?
Yeah, I think that's actually very true because she decided to make a tapioca pudding with a banana, like a banana foster.
Banana foster. I mean, that is the shitty. That's like on Chopped when they're like, I'm making bread pudding.
It's yeah.
Like, ugh.
It looked good and Tom did love it, but it also looked simple. Although Brother Love made like a seared tuna with like cherries and apples, and there were some weird things going on that I did not think were going to work, but Tom obviously had no problem with it.
But it was savory. So I think that automatically pulled him away.
Yeah, it looked like it had more skill involved than just like...
A banana foster. Girl, yeah. I'm rooting for you, Nini. I'm rooting for you. I see you every time I pick up prescriptions on that cardboard cutout at CVS.
So Tom's like, all right, well, one of you is coming back to the competition. And I think one other person needs to be here to hear it. And then Padma just walks in like, hi, how's it going? Hello. Did you save me any, or did Gail get here already?
She comes in holding the jacket, and she goes, Padma's in a really loopy mood today, by the way, through the entire episode, starting here. She's like, Brother Luck, back in the game! Whoa.
You see what I did there? I made a non-pun.
do you know any of these people, Brother Luck? And he's like, no. She's like, ha. So he wins. And,
I could tell you had no idea the people around you. It's sort of like when Gail walks into a new supermarket for the first time. That look of puzzlement and awe on her face, just priceless. Bless her heart.
Who moved my cheese? Am I right, Gail? Literally.
So Brother Luck wins. He comes back. I'm like, ugh, it's like the worst. So
yes,
Nini's gone.
And then Nini's like, this is really, really disappointing. But I think what I've really learned is to embrace what makes me different. I was like, how? You made Bananas Foster. Get out, Nini, okay? I'm sick of rooting for you. Get out.
So then Tom gets this, like, smile on his face. Because whenever Tom gets to make, like, a pun, he gets so excited. He goes, well, I don't know about the rest of you, but after watching that competition, I could use a stiff drink. Cocktails, anyone? That's transition. So when you watch this back on TV, you'll see some letters come up on the screen saying main challenge. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. You know who couldn't come up with that? A mixologist.
That's for sure. Mixologists just stand there, wait for the letters to come on.
I loved Tom's pure joy at being the host of Last Chance Kitchen. Like, yeah. He's so excited that he has something else to do. You know, he's like, oh, look at me. Look how many lines I had today.
Well, it was really great eating all your food, but unfortunately, Brother Luck. So, So Tom says that he likes cocktail. Anyone want a cocktail? And of course, Sarah's like, oh my God, I hope this is a cocktail competition because I love making cocktails. I have the best cocktail recipe. It's almost as good as my best biscuits recipe, which is almost as good as my best Benedictine recipe, which is almost as good as my best dog kibble recipe. I'm like, okay, Sarah.
I love a cocktail. I just woke up in a bathtub of gin. I hope it's about the 20s. And it is. Padma's like, tomorrow we'll be throwing a 1920s party. Because that's when they started Prohibition.
Yeah.
Which would never work at Gail's house. Am I right? God, it's so sad not having her here, isn't it, Tom?
All right, let's bring out the lesbian. So they bring out this like cart of cocktails. And so it's like, all right, the first cocktail is a gin Ricky. Next is the south side. That's the direction of Gail's refrigerator, if anyone wants to know. It's on the south side of her apartment. Old fashioned, that's also how it describes a refrigerator. It's basically just a box with ice. Nothing really has to be cooled for long in there. It doesn't last long enough, if you know what I'm saying.
An old fashioned, otherwise known as Gail's closet.
Here's something called the last word. It's what you say if you're a potato about to go into Gail's mouth.
Any last words? Last word.
Oh, here's one called the 12-mile limit. The drink was named after the fact that many wealthy drinkers would take their cocktails 12 miles offshore to skirt the law. It's also the farthest restaurant that will deliver to Gail's house. 12 miles away.
Next up, the Grubhub challenge.
Bless her heart. So then Pema goes, we'd like to see you take a popular drink from that era and create a decorative canopy to put on Gail. Oh, I'm sorry. Canapé.
We didn't have any fabric for this challenge. Sorry, Gail. We'd like to see you create a decadent canapé. We'd like you to use the flavors and, well, just do whatever you want. I was like, okay, well, thanks for showing up, Padma. She's like, just do whatever. I don't even care.
Oh, look, I'm on Instagram. Gail must have found out about the challenge. She's already loaded up her big gulp cup and is coming down to Kentucky.
So she's like, brother, as the winner, you choose first. He's like, let's just go in order. How about that, guys? So, shut up, brother!
Yeah,
loser, we hate you.
So brother walks up to the knives and he goes, I need a drink. I'm like, good one, brother. Hilarious.
I love hating on Brother Luck for no reason.
I know.
It fills me with joy.
It really is so good.
He's like, God, that was really hard. So many episodes right in a row. Padma's like, are you kidding me? I just stood back there 3 hours waiting to hand you a jacket. Please don't complain to me, Brother Luck. So everybody picks their drinks. I didn't write all of them down.
I just wrote down that
she's like, tomorrow we'll have a party in the rat cellar.
That's what we call Gail when she gets caught in the rain.
Okay, so cars. They're all in the cars, and everyone hates Brother Luck, which is so funny. Eric is like, so you signed up again, huh? This wacky time. And he's like, yeah, I want it back because I have unsettled business. You know, when I went out, it was heartbreaking because I didn't do anything that the challenge told me to do. But now the game starts anew, and now it's serious. And that's like a famous last words.
Exactly. Soda! Well, appropriate that he himself chose the last word as his cocktail. I know this. I remember this because Pamela went, the last word, huh? Just stared at him. Like, you're really going to pick that one? So they're at Whole Foods. They're running around like crazy, as usual. And Eddie's going to be, he chose an old fashioned, so he's trying to do something to go with an old fashioned, whatever. So he goes over to the fish counter and he's like, he tries to order like a big, basically, Adrian is there like getting like a salmon, a giant salmon fillet. And Eddie's like, oh, I'll take that fillet. And she's like, hold it. I was like, of course Eddie would try to steal her fillet and be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, he was like stealing someone's shrimp. Wasn't she standing up for someone's shrimp? She's like, that is not your shrimp. That is Eric's shrimp, or whoever's shrimp. Or I guess it was hers because she did make something with shrimp.
Eddie thought that those were her shrimp. That's why he was trying to go for the salmon.
Yeah, Eddie's always like, what? I don't know what's going on. What? And then he's like spending all the money and taking all the food.
Yeah.
Eddie's... I mean, I write fucking Top Chef notes. I know. Seriously, I get a headache every time I look at these notes. Do you have like, bitters? Yeah. Oh, and then Michelle's like, I'm going to make a cream puff with chicken liver inside. And I'm like, ew!
Everyone was doing liver this episode. Yeah, Eddie was like, I'm just looking for things that are orange flavored. Can you guys, like, if you guys see something that's orange flavored, can let me know. And Sarah's like, orange marmalade right here. Brother Luck is just like, I just want something Asian. And then, and I was very happy because Justin said he wanted, you're unfrozen on TV Party app. Yay, you're back.
Yay.
Justin was like, I'm going to do duck a l'orange. And I felt so cool because I, at that moment, like a minute before I turned to Dom and I said, if I were doing an old fashioned, I would do duck a l'orange. And then when he did it, I was like, oh my God, Justin and I are like the same people. And then I was like, oh my God, like, should I be on Top Chef? And then I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm basically.
Oh my God, please do it. I would love you to be on Top Chef.
No, you know, I'd be a disaster, a full disaster.
No, you wouldn't. I think you'd do a really good job.
I'd be like, this is a grilled cheese sandwich.
You'd just be mocking Gail the whole time.
I would go on there.
You'd be like, a one bite challenge. Will that be enough for Gail? Get it, Gail? You'd be like, fuck you, dude. So then Napoleon Dynamite is like, guys, my dish is simple, but not simple too. Gonna be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really peaked. I think he peaked with his. He wrote that manual last for Restaurant Wars, and I think now it's all downhill again. He was always going downhill, so I don't even know what's happening.
I think the producers are like, listen, if Napoleon Dynamite smiled, he wouldn't have had a movie. Okay, nobody wants to see Napoleon Dynamite smile. No, you're out. So Sarah, they're like, so Sarah, you live here. What's the hotel like? She's like, you know, it's okay. It's beautiful. I mean, here's what I do there. Drink stuff. And it's great. But every time I go there, I say, can I have some French fries? I got French fries. Can I get some salmon? I got salmon.
You know what, Sarah? You know what Sarah totally reminds me of? I know exactly what sort of person Sarah is. Sarah's the sort of person where you're like, hey, Sarah, what's the rat skeller like? And she's like, oh, my God, Sam makes the best cocktails. And you're like, Sam? Like, oh, he's the bartender. He's awesome. I'm like, don't say Sam as if I know who Sam is. You're flaunting the fact that you know the bartender. She's that sort of person. I know this girl out here who does that all the time. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just went to Drago Centro. It was so good. She's like, oh, my God, Jamie makes the best cocktails. I'm like, who the fuck is Jamie? Like, don't just say that. Like, don't flaunt it. It's like when people say Nick Cage. I'm like, you're not his friend. You can't call him Nick Cage. It's Nicholas to you, sir. But I know that Sarah totally is like, oh, my God, did you see Tom? Tom makes the best flips. You should have one. I'm like, I don't know who Tom is. Stop bragging that you know Tom at the Ratskeller.
Yeah, the bartender. I think this means you're an alcoholic, braggart.
Okay? Yeah.
That you know every single bartender name. Also, I hate when people do that to movie stars. It makes like you said, Nick Cage. It makes me crazy. People are like, "Oh, I loved Pretty Woman. Julia did a great job." It's like, you don't know her.
My mom always calls Ben Affleck pretty. Affleck. My mom goes, "I saw the new Affleck film. I thought Affleck was very good." And I just think it's funny.
Well, I like that because he gets no respect for me. So I just think of Affleck.
So they're all cooking now. We're starting to see various problem areas. Like Eric is like going to be shucking like a million oysters, which seems like it's like I feel like shucking oysters is the new like sous vide steak on this show. Like, don't shuck oysters; it's bad. It's not going to work out.
Yeah, and also it's one of those things. It's like sous vide in the way too that sous vide is putting meat in a plastic bag and throwing it in boiling water. Okay, let's stop pretending it's. Congratulations on your fucking fancy name for it. And then shucking oysters is opening rocks. Okay, it's pounding on rocks. Like, let's stop. Like, what is this? So, what was I going to say? Okay, I have to say congratulations. It's like the middle of the show now. I have to say congratulations to Rocky from Below Deck. Oh. Because Rocky was a monster. Yeah, not a monster, but she was a maniac on Below Deck. And she's really had such a bad reputation. And every season they show 10 clips of her just being crazy.
Yeah.
But this is a chance for Rocky to have some redemption this show. Because one of the ingredients Eric is going to put on his oysters is grenadine.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Rocky is still mocked every season because she took over for the sick chef or the fired chef one night and made oysters and was trying to figure out what to put on there and put some grenadine. And everyone almost, like some people did throw up, actually. Yeah. And well, I don't know that Eric knows that he's doing it, but whatever little coffee shop on whatever Alp you're working on right now, Rocky, congratulations. Justice for Rocky.
Not whatever Alp. But you know what, that is such a good call. Like, that is such a great that you are so right. The difference, though, is that I feel like Rocky took the bottle and was like, and Eric is like, was like, ooh, I just banged my microphone.
Yeah, he probably just put like a little drop in there or whatever.
Exactly. So,
but she put it out into the ether, you know, because everyone's like, grenadine on oysters. And he's like, oh, yes, grenadine on oysters.
Eddie, meanwhile,
I like Eddie, okay? My dad's name is Eddie, and I like...
My middle name is Edward, okay?
Oh, yeah, my best friend's name is Eddie, but I don't like... What was I going to say about Eddie? I don't like people that can't learn, and Eddie just made a crudo last week. He's, like, doing it again, and they're like, crudo? Who does that? And he's like, I'm going to make a crudo. Come on, make an effort. That's like your bananas Foster.
Yeah, but on top of that, he needs to use, like, he's using, like, butter solids. So he's, like, boiling over this cream. And so everyone is basically like, Eddie, your cream. So basically, like, his dish, because he's not, like, paying attention to it. He's doing, like, other things. So it keeps boiling over, and everyone has to be like, Eddie, do you want me to turn this off? Eddie, you want me to do this? So once again, everyone has to consume their energy to deal with Eddie's dish. Every single time.
You hate Eddie. I love that you hate Eddie so much. It's
just
so
the Whole Foods. Ever since that Whole Foods thing, I'm like, this guy, he's like, he's, like, trying to be all nice, but he's, like, quietly, like, consumes everyone's energies.
Yeah. He's like a toxic energy suck.
Yeah.
He's a culinary vampire.
Yeah. So then this is when Tom and Graham start walking through. And
okay. I don't know who gave these two the giggle beans. Tom and Graham. They're walking through like giggle a beans. Couple little sisters. Like, ha 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 ha. I'm like, who is Tom today? Who are Tom and Padma today? They're having so much fun. It's weird.
I know. Yeah. And this is when Brian starts talking about his wife being a craft bartender. That's when Tom goes, well, my son is a mixologist. I taught him everything I know, and instead he wants to squeeze limes into a glass. Fine. That sounds good. It's totally an acceptable branch of culinary operations. I mean, it doesn't require that much skill, but, you know, if he wants to do it, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only paid for his college education. I only taught him everything I know. I mean, who am I? Just a renowned chef who hosts the greatest... And only Emmy Award-winning, primetime Emmy Award-winning cable show about cooking food. But that's fine. That's fine.
Have fun taking that one bottle and pouring it into a glass. Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Who can beat the rush of putting gin in a glass and then putting some tonic over it? It's fun.
So Graham and Tom are, like, giggling through there. And Graham's like, look who it is! And I love that Graham can't even remember Brother Luck's name. And Graham doesn't give a fuck. He's on, like, 20 TV shows. He's like... Hi, stupid, from last time.
Yeah.
Who are you and why should I care? And brother looks like, yeah, I'm going to make a chicken thigh with some beef liver mousse. And Gramps like, what? He's like, what? Now, look, I've had that for breakfast. But as a composed canapé? What?
I feel like Graham is slowly transitioning into the lady who sang, I love the nightlife. I like to boogie.
You know what's her name?
Alicia something or other. She's just like this old lesbian who has a disco song. That's who Graham is like slowly moving towards in life. I really respect his journey.
Yeah, I like Graham's lesbian journey too. I'm in.
Yeah.
I like his glasses journey as well. Because Graham lost weight, then he gained a little bit back, and then he lost some more. You know, as is the trajectory of people with weight.
I didn't know he lost weight.
Yeah, he got like super skinny and bobbleheady a while back.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he lost like that amount where you have to lose to just get to a normal weight. You know how you have to lose like 100 extra pounds just because you know that you're going to gain 150 back? I'm there. I'm with you, Graham, okay? But I like that he also committed to a glasses journey because it's like, he's like, you know what? This weight loss, it changed me and I have more confidence, but not enough.
Yeah.
I'm getting new frames, guys. Yeah. He committed. Okay.
I'm literally like Alicia Bridges. It was killing me, by the way. I was like, who sang that damn song?
I love the booger. Okay, so then Earlobes is like, oh, I love the 20s. Dresses with fringe. And Graham's like, I was going to wear that.
Nailed it.
And Tom's like, ha, ha, ha. It's like, who are you two? Please be serious.
Tom's like, I need a cocktail so badly. I just need to drink away the memory of my son deciding to become a mixologist. Oh, the irony that I need my son's creation to forget what my son actually does with his life. So it's the next morning.
I'm the owner of Kraft, and my son enjoys Hobby Lobby. That's where we're at with that.
I think that when I told my son that I wanted him to continue on the Kraft tradition, I didn't mean Kraft cocktails. I meant Kraft the restaurant, but that's okay. We all take our own journeys, and some are more lucrative and have more upside in life, and that's what it is. Well, yeah.
So let's see here. So they're talking to a douchebag. Oh, yeah. Why do I keep calling him douchebag? This guy really isn't that bad. The guy from the Fandango Malengo Chocolate Factory, Fandungus Malungus.
Yeah, I keep expecting him to be more of a douchebag. Yeah, and he's not been as much of a douchebag as I've been expecting.
I think it's because he doesn't have eyebrows, and people just assume that people with eyebrows are mean, you know? So anyway, which is unfair. Okay. So, what's he doing? Douchebag. I wrote whiskey sour and he says what he's going to make. And Graham is like, so break down why you would choose a whiskey sour. I mean, whiskey sour. And Tom's like, cause it was last choice. Kind of like my son's career would have been to me.
Last choice, sort of like a diet for Gail. Sorry, I had to jump in on this one, Tom. I'll leave now.
Otherwise known as a self-imposed coma. That's what they had to do. I want one of those, by the way. Do you know where I can get one of those?
What, a self-imposed coma?
Yeah, where you pay the doctor to put you in a coma and then you just lay there until you lose weight. That's what I want.
I did not know that was a thing, but it sounds like something that Kim Zolciak would do.
Yeah, I want to go to bed and then I want to wake up thin with like a skin sleeping bag that I just use as a poncho.
So it's the next morning and they're making breakfast and someone like cut the skin to cantaloupe and Sarah's like, who did this? A culinary student? Let me tell you something. I could do a cantaloupe better. Cantaloupes, I got a killer cantaloupe recipe, okay? I'm going to make the cantaloupes from now on.
And everyone's so mad. Sarah's like, well, we all know about each other now. And now we got this guy, Brother Luck, coming in here. We don't want him in here. And Kelsey's like, yeah, sorry, but we don't want anyone else coming in here. He had his chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that night before when they were all at the house, he was like trying to be nice to everyone, and like you could tell that like no one was taking it at all, and like no one wanted it.
I know, people are such dicks, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not his fault. And you guys are all going to be on Last Chance Kitchen for 20 years as well, trying to get back on this show. Like, who are you kidding?
Exactly. So then we
only
see...
Napoleon Dynamite would talk to him, and Napoleon Dynamite's like, look, here's runes. Like, one time I slept in the room, I felt like a loser, but now I sleep and I feel like a winner because I won a challenge. And he's like, all right, bro, show me which one has bad luck. And he's like, they all do. All these people went home. And he's like, all right, great.
Yeah.
Thanks for the tour.
Yeah. Your name is Brother Luck. It's going to follow you. So, so the next morning, someone butchers the cantaloupe. And then we see Michelle meditating. She's like, I like to meditate. It helps me have a clear head. You know, I need to trust my gut instinct sometimes, you know? That's just what I need to do. And she's like, just like stretching or whatever. I'm like, okay, she's going home. In my mind, I was like...
That's what I wrote. I wrote, okay, bye now. Because she's like, everything that happens here is a learning experience. I was like, bye, bitch.
Bye. You're meditating. They're showing you meditate. That means you're going home. I thought Brian was going home. No, you're going home.
But so, she didn't. They're tricking us. And have you noticed they're not putting people on the phone every day? That used to be my favorite Top Chef tell. When they would put people on the phone call from death, they'd be like, honey, I miss you. How's the baby? I'm so sorry to be... Bye. Yeah. Please pack your cell phone and go.
By the way, can you hear me drinking the coffee? Does it sound disgusting? Can you hear the ice cubes clank, like sloshing around? I don't want to gross people out.
No, I can't hear you, but I realized I'm going deaf because I talk so loud, I'm like making myself deaf.
Oh, okay. So if anyone hears the swilling sound of ice cubes, I apologize. I forgot to give myself a straw today. So anyway, so now we go over to the Seelbach Hotel, and Brian, he has to make his sausage. I don't know why he didn't make the sausage the night before. I guess maybe things had to marinate or whatever, but he has to make his sausage. But he also has gnocchi that he wants to pan saute. So he is just like in the weeds, as they say. So he's doing that. And then Sarah's making like a fennel something crudité thing, whatever, scallop, and she's with someone. Like, I forget who's with her, but they're both doing... Oh, I think it's Brother Luck. They're both doing the last word. And one of them is like, isn't it funny that we both have the last word and we're both standing next to each other? And she's like, I have the last word. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I have the last word. 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 I'm going to say it till you laugh. I have the last word.
I mean, I laugh. I don't know what it is about Sarah. She's like Brother Luck to me, where I'm expecting to hate her guts, but then I like think she's great.
I like her more and more every single. Like I'm like, oh, I love she's her. Terrible, but I like she's terrible
she's
in a way
like
I love.
In a cartoon, you know that character in a cartoon that's always like an extra, but they're like standing outside beating a rug.
Yeah,
like outside a storefront, and then they just look at kids going by, and they're like, that's her. That's her to me.
So Eric is getting busy. He's got to shuck all his oysters, 150 oysters in 40 minutes. And I was getting nervous because I'm finding that I actually think in a weird way Eric is like very attractive. And I was like, please don't send Eric home. I don't want him. I don't want him. I like my as Karen Huger would say, I like my eye candy. My eye candy.
Like my eye candy. And Kelsey's like, you cannot shuck that many oysters in that amount of time. I like that Kelsey is just slowly but surely becoming just evil as hell. And I knew it was going to come, but she's such a witch. So then she's like, well, I chose scallops because they're sweet, mild, and decadent, and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Scallops are very easy. They're notoriously easy on Top Chef. Of course, they're easy to mess up, too.
I'm about to say, they have a slim window there, you know? I support her. I actually really like Kelsey a lot. So I supported her scallop journey. So now the cocktail party is beginning. Brian is so far behind, so instead of, like, making sausages, he just, like, puts it all on the flat top. So just, like, grilling the sausage. And, like, a little later on, we see that, like, the sausage is grilling, and so then he just decides to deep fry his gnocchi, which seemed like a really, really odd choice.
Did anybody at home think, well, this is going to go well? Fried gnocchi. Sounds great.
Why didn't he just like put it all in a pot and boil it real quickly, like a normal like do it? It takes like 2 minutes max to do like.
I don't know, but I'm starting to see why chefs can't have self confidence because it kills the chefs whenever they're self confident. Yeah. It just kills them. He's like, I mean, I'm happy with it. Had to do it, and I think it was the right choice. It's like, you're out.
No, and then Eddie is just there being like, I just really need a confidence boost, guys. I just really need one. I'm like, you do well every single week, and then you're like, I just need to be confident. And then you
it's
mess
not
up
everybody
else's
responsibility to make you get a confidence boost. Get an Adderall prescription like everybody else. Sir.
Yeah. So now we have the first three people who are presenting. So it's Eddie, he brings out like a cured salmon, and Brandon has like a duck croquette, and Brother Love has like a some sort of like chicken thigh.
Chicken thigh with beef liver salad with peanut sauce and chilies.
Yeah. Which has nothing to do. I think his cocktail was like the last word, right?
Southside Fizz.
Southside Fizz. Oh, okay. So, and by the way, did you notice that the waitress from Restaurant Wars was back? Did you see the big...
She was?
I mean, I believe it was the same hair, that lady. Big blonde hair. She was like, okay, I'll take these out.
Yeah, what's the table number? What's that? How do I do that?
Can I take this out to the dumpster and throw them out there? No, no, take it to the judges.
We don't need a spoon for this.
Why not? I don't get it.
So they love Eddie's salmon, of course. And then
his crudité. I mean, come on with the crudité. I'm disappointed they didn't give him shit for that, doing crudité a couple times in a row. And Tom's like, subtle. And Padma's like, sweet. The sweet is forward. And then Brandon's next.
Padma's like,
Brandon?
The blonde Aryan one.
Oh, the
chocolate factory. So Padma's like, I personally would have liked a healthy pinch of salt, and I'm sure Gail would have just liked a bucket. Just back up the truck and pour it onto the entire plate, if you know what I'm saying. Bless her heart.
And Graham's like, whoa, that's heat with brothers. Yeah. And Tom's like, so you get a liver and liver and a spice bomb. So, wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is about as... this is about as indelicate as something I would expect from a mixologist, not from one of our contestants. You know what I'm saying?
I wish I could say I was as disappointed in your dish as I am in my son, but I can't. Still, not good.
It's really, really hard to measure up to the amount of personal failure I feel with my son going into mixology. But hey, you know, everyone's got to choose their way. So Michelle,
you know, I didn't like your dish, but I hope that when your kids grow up, they can make up names for their own careers too.
Yeah.
Because that's made up. I've never heard that before until about 10 years ago. So, great. Thanks. Yeah,
great. So, Michelle, meanwhile, is back in the kitchen working on her gougères, and they're taking, like, a long time because she's got to stuff them with liver and stuff. And she's like, I kind of start to freak out. I'm like, whoa.
I have to stuff canapes with liver. I didn't know 200 canapes would take this long. I'm sort of freaking out.
Like, I'm losing my mind right now. Like, I am shitting my pants.
I'm going to kill somebody and then myself.
I just can't stop yelling at everyone around me. I'm so mad. By the way, what's the difference between a canapé and an amuse-bouche?
I think canapé, an amuse-bouche, I don't think you're expected to, like, be able to pick it up. A canapé is generally something you pick up, right?
I think so.
Like when you're passing an hors d'oeuvre, you're able to pick it up. And I don't know, I'm making shit up. Right,
I think an hors d'oeuvre is sort of like a general umbrella term, maybe. I don't know. Let's see.
I don't know either.
Laura Pate on TV Party says, canapés, pick up. So that's what it is. Well... Yeah. If that's how we describe a canapé, poor Gail Simmons, she's certainly not one that anyone can pick up. Am I right, everyone? So
we call Gail a canapé.
Bless her heart.
So it comes to that canapé, and Padma's like, the canapé was soggy.
Michelle's liver mousse actually made the gougère very soggy very quickly. It's kind of like when Gail tried to make a raincoat out of Hawaiian rolls.
And then they taste Napoleon Dynamites, and Tom's like, this dish tastes like stale oil. The sausage is dried, and the gnocchi is dried. It's like sand in a cup. And then Grandma's like, yeah. If this is how your food starts out, and he holds up a napkin and it's got like a big oil blot in the middle. Poor earlobe.
That's funny. That's what my sleeve looks like whenever I brush up against Gail. Bless her heart. I really have to give her some new products.
Blotters, anybody? Please say somebody made a blotter canapé. So then Justin, he's wearing a stupid hat in the kitchen. I can't get behind Justin. And you know what? All Justin did was he said something bitchy to someone one time. And now I'm like, I'm done with you.
Well, it's like me with Eddie. I'm like, can't.
And won't. I really don't like stupid Stevie Nicks hat on men. I just don't like it, man. Okay? I'm sorry to sound like a patriarchy, but enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Children of the Corn kid.
It was like somewhere between like Amish and Hasidic. It was just a, it was a very specific look. So, yeah. So basically Eric managed to shuck all his oysters. And so, so Justin serves his duck à l'orange with a liver mousse. Sarah does scallops with avocado and eggplant and crudité. And then Eric does his oyster with the, that mignonette with the grenadine, etc. So they
Listen up, earlobes. Avocado toast? Really? No, she's making Sarah. Avocado and
oh,
shrimp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is earlobes, right?
No.
Oh, we're on Sarah. Okay, we're on, go ahead.
Yeah. So they love Eric's oyster. They love Justin's duck, but they think that Sarah's is like very one note. And the guest judge is like, it's basically like mush on mush on mush. And you could just see Padma being like, I mean, the jokes just write themselves at this point.
It's a Gale pyramid, am I right?
It's like if Gale cloned herself and joined a cheerleading squad and they all made a pyramid together. Mush on mush on mush.
And Graham's like, yeah, it's like a dip. Okay? It's like a dip. So then Jersey is going out with earlobes and somebody else.
And no, it's just the two of them.
Oh, okay. And so he's getting his stuff together. He's like, I'm really ahead of the game here. You better watch out, Adrian. She goes, oh, really? You're ahead of the game putting your raw fish on a piece of toast? Whoa!
Yeah. With like his is like shrimp with like cucumber and apple and radish. So yeah. Congratulations, you sliced something.
Yeah, my restaurant called Middle of the Road.
So she made. They both basically did like a shrimp toast situation, but then this
I can't
is what,
with this. She did an avocado shrimp toast. Are you kidding me?
Wait, what's bad? I mean, I think that sounds nice. Personally.
An avocado toast is just so lame. It's like a trendy food in LA.
That's true.
You know?
It's not
like,
very.
I just like a canapé for the 20s and avocado and shrimp toast.
And this is when Pam was like, "All I got was oil."
Yeah, this is when they got all that oil. Sorry, I had my oil bladder out of place, everybody. Kind of like Gale, am I right, Gale?
Kind of like Gale, am I right, Gale? This was too oily for me. I mean, I couldn't stomach it. But, you know, our dear friend Gale Simmons would be more than happy to have it. Here's a box. We can just put your plates in there. She'll eat them all.
All right, we're going to do a blind taste test for Gale. Gale? Which one is the avocado toast and which is the cardboard box? She doesn't care, you see. Am I right, Gail?
I love the idea. Padma asking for confirmation from Gail when she insults her.
She just can't stop asking. Like, am I right?
So now we go to the judges' table. Kelsey, Eric, and Eddie are on top.
Sarah's so funny that she's barely hanging on because you know that Sarah's drunk half the day usually. She's like, well, I was rough, and we were leaving the room, and I thought, God, the least they could do is offer us a cocktail. But you know how everybody else has been kind of joking? Sarah's not joking. She's like, please, is there someone in here who can get me a goddamn cocktail, please?
I mean, Sam's
here. Can someone call my mother?
Sam's here. He's working the bar. I don't know why he didn't give me a cocktail. It's like, no one knows who Sam is, Sarah. Stop talking about Sam. You spent the entire episode talking about Sam at the bar.
Sam has never treated me like this, and I've been coming here for years.
So, Kelsey, Eric, and Eddie are on top, and Eddie was like, I really wanted to do like an old fashioned because it's like a simple drink, and I wanted the simple flavors because otherwise, like, my mind would start to overthink it. And then Kelsey just starts laughing right in his face because she's like, you're always overthinking everything. And he's like, oh, she thinks I'm really stressed out. And Pam is like, you do seem really stressed out. It's like Gale going to a 7-Eleven and they're out of ice cream Snicker bars. He's like, no,
you looked,
no, you go.
Gonna say you look terrified. It's like when I told Gale what the whole 30 is.
You look like you're about to lose your mind, like when I told Gale that Rocky Road isn't just nothing. When I told Gale I drove down a dirt road and she thought I was gonna give her some ice cream. It didn't work.
Feels as bad as when we were driving our Top Chef Toyotas and I said Rocky Road ahead and Gale jumped on the hood of the car and tried to eat the road.
She looks you look stressed out, sort of like sort of like Gale when she found out her complimentary New York Super Fudge Chunk t-shirt wasn't edible.
So, where are we? So Eddie's like, yeah, everyone thinks I'm stressed out. And Padma's like, you look terrified, Eddie. Like, I love, Padma's so excited by Eddie's sheer terror, you know? And he's like, I just have resting mean face. And the guest was like, well, your bitterness worked in your dish. And I was like, God, these guests, these judges are just having the time of their lives.
Well, when Eddie was like, I think there's just something with my brow and my face that makes it look like I'm stressed. And Tom Colicchio was like, ha, 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 ha. The laughter almost erases the disappointment of having a son who's a mixologist.
I haven't laughed this hard since I first heard the word mixologist.
It's so good to finally laugh again after the family tragedy that we endured of learning that my son is going to be a mixologist.
Oh, so let's see. They liked Eric's oysters.
Yes.
And Tom's like, pulled it off. No, you kept it subtle. You know, grenadine, baseboards, everything that was in that delicious.
Baseboards.
And Padma's like, honestly, it was tough, but there were a few tonight that fell flat.
So Brian, Sarah, and Brother Luck are in the bottom, and Padma's like, Sarah, are you surprised to be here? You sort of look like Gail accidentally walking into a Weight Watchers meeting. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Are you surprised to be here? And Sarah's like, well, I mean, there was assholes. I meant Top Chef in general. Are you surprised to be on Top Chef?
Be honest. You thought you were going to be on America's Next Top Uber Driver, didn't you?
So Sarah's like, yeah, you know, I mean, with assholes, so I wanted some fat in there. She's like, no. Well, I mean, Sarah just keeps trying to go. You know, she's trying to stand up for herself. But Tom goes, well, it just all had the same texture. It was like dip on dip on dip. You know, there wasn't one dot. He goes, there wasn't one bite that was like, boom. You know what I'm saying?
No, like aha moment. Like, aha, I should be a chef, you know? So then Padma turns to Brian and goes, Brian, how did you feel about this challenge? And please know there's only one correct answer, and it shouldn't start with a sh and end with a T.
I'm just watching you on TV. That's what happens when we have these video things. I'm just watching Ben like, ha-ha.
Brian, all I tasted was a fried gnocchi that felt like a greasy sponge. It was like biting into a fresh side of Gale.
And he's like, but I liked it. I thought it was delicious, which, you know, there's times to stand up for yourself and there's times to say, I was running out of time. Sorry. That's like, the truth. But then they would say, you're making excuses, Brian.
You know, Brian, this really makes me question your judgment. It's like when Gale picks out a new poncho.
So he's like trying to stand up, and Tom's like, no, you didn't give us enough salsa verde, and frying that gnocchi made it dry in one note. She's like, yeah. And I was like, gross, die. And then
disgusting.
She's like, sister, unlucky. I know it can't feel good standing here right when you got yourself back in. And he's like, never feels good, Padma. And Tom goes, this bite had nothing to do with the cocktail at all. Look what the heck. It's like the cocktail was trying to tell you to do one thing, and you just did whatever you wanted, and you think it's going to make you independent, but it's really going to make you a loser at the end of the day. And not only are you going to feel bad about it, I'm going to feel bad about it. So, you know, go talk to your mother for a while, and I'll try and calm down over here.
Yeah.
Right?
I just thought it was so funny when Padma said, when she said, brother, I'm sure it can't feel good to stand here. I mean, I know you just said it, but like the fact, like she was just loving, just kicking him when he was down. I'm sure it can't feel good to stand here right away. This is what it must feel like when you're an egg in a refrigerator and Gale opens up the door. Horrifying. Cause you know what's happening next.
So let's see here. Megan McCain. Okay, so then we cut to some, because it's commercial time. So then we cut to a commercial for Watch What Happens Live, and Megan McCain is on there with some little fella. And the little fella, Andy's like, and I think Andy was making a short joke because he's like, Top Chef, who would be the winner of the Hunger Games? out of this, out of us, you know? And the little, everyone, Meghan McCain's like, the little one, you know, obviously, because he looks like PETA from The Hunger Games, that little guy. And then, I mean, I'm assuming that's what she meant. And then Andy's like, well, Meghan, you're part of The Hunger Games every day. And she's like, yeah, I guess I am. I was like, what a rude thing to say. I was like, is that a weight joke? I don't like that, sir. That is such a rude fucking thing to say. So I had to watch until – I had to watch the beginning of Watch What Happens to see if he was shading her. And he wasn't. He was just saying like, The View is like The Hunger Games, which I guess because they were kicking off so many people. I don't know. The point is,
I think that's what he meant. But like, yeah, that's like –
if he said that to me, you say that to somebody with a weight problem, I'd break you in two before your baby arrived. Okay?
Yeah.
Just warning the rest of you.
As Cameron Westcott would say – choose your words carefully. So now they're judging. The judges are judging, and they're talking about these dishes. And Tom is so mad at Sarah's dish. She's like, I mean, this is like a swanky cocktail party. And then we got a dip they'd find like at a PTA meeting. I mean, what is this? It's just some back alley Boys Club of America potluck that we're doing? Something like, I mean, like, is this, what is this? Is this like a dinner party for mixologists? Like, come on.
I like that he's so mad that he's not only dissing her, he's dissing the poor woman who made that dip at a PTA party. Because you know somebody did. And she's like, oh my God, this dip is important. Tom Chaliki Joes is going to be there from a show, food show. I don't want him to be upset. And he's like, oh, loved your dip. And now she's watching TV. It's like the dip from a PTA meeting. She's like cutting herself on the thighs.
I thought he liked my dip.
Yourself on the thighs.
She served it in every PTA meeting since. Yeah. Felt like an asshole.
So the judges are like mad at Brother Luck because basically he just served up something that had nothing to do with the cocktail and then wasn't even good. And apparently this is what he did last year, which is why he got cut off. So kicked out. So they're all mad. And Graham's like, I mean, what we got was so completely wrong. And Pam is like, and greasy. And Greasy. That's my nickname for Gail also. I'm saying, don't forget about Greasy. She had a baby.
So, Pat... kind of,
wait, what are you saying? You're breaking up.
Really scared. She's like, okay. I said that Padma looked kind of drunk, and I like it when Padma's drunk. And yeah. She's like, okay, let's get him in here. Like, now is that point of the season where Padma's going to pretend she actually gives a shit about who's there. And I'm only pointing that out because last week you were like, I can't wait till Padma pretends to start crying again.
She's getting there.
Yeah, she's getting there.
And then, so basically, I was pretty shocked about this. I thought Brian was going home for sure for that Noki situation. But actually, they sent Brother Luck home. And I was, like, very happy. And Tom's like, you know, I'm pretty shocked. I mean, you know, you were so good in Last Chance Kitchen, and then you get here, and you just sort of, like, fall on your face. I mean, that's pretty terrible. That's pretty terrible to be given so many amazing chances in life, and then you just sort of, like, don't take advantage of them, and next thing you know, you're just, like, serving cocktails at a place called Barney's.
Congratulations. You're independent now. You can sleep in your car. Okay. That's great. You made the right choice. You're an adult, and there's nothing else I can do. Also, your credit card for the restaurant has been taken away, so you won't be having any free meals.
But then he's like, Brother Luck's
and,
like,
he's like, what happened to you? He's like, what happened to you? And Brother Luck's like, oh, could have used a break.
And Padma just goes, woo-hoo. She just like gives this like weird, like patronizing laugh, like, that's adorable, a break. That reminds me of Gail. Every time she'd come in for filming, she'd always be whistling the Kit Kat song. Give me a break, give me a break, give me a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I mean, Gail, how many Kit Kats do you need? Just throw them at her mouth and she still wouldn't be satisfied.
Oh my God, poor Gail.
Poor Gail. We love Gail.
I just always imagine like Gail driving in the car and like some friend from high school posts on Facebook, Gail, have you ever heard these guys? They talk about Top Chef. And then she just turns it on and we're like,
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, Gail.
I know. That's actually one of my deepest fears, because my love for Gail is so deep and long-standing, and I just feel like we have to always and always, always, always reiterate that we think Gail is, like, beautiful and not fat at all and not a monster, but we just totally love to think about the idea that Padma is just...
Padma has to take it out on somebody, because she gives those looks to people, like... Those robot eyes, you know, like it has to be Gail.
Yeah.
So Tom's like, well, you got another chance at Last Chance Kitchen, which is proving to not mean last chance at all, because you've been back like 30,000 times, brother. That was a good. Graham, was that good? Graham's like, mush on mush.
Mush on mush on mush. So that's it for Top Chef today, but before we go, we actually only have like one or two questions left in our mailbag, and then we get to finally refill it, so let's do some mailbag.
Excuse me, I'm standing up and ready to run out.
Like, ready to go. I'm like, not so fast, sir. No, we only have like a few left, and then we get a whole new batch. I'm just bringing it up right now, because God forbid I'm actually prepared, ever. For this show.
Oh, you didn't have it pulled up?
No, but I have it pulled up now. Here, you can tell everyone what the Crap It's Mailbag is.
The mailbag is where you guys ask us questions on El Patreon. Oh, and this is also a good time to let you guys know. We love doing this TV party thing so much. Because, like, who doesn't like seeing each other when we work without having to leave our house?
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing these once a week, at least, on Patreon. So if you want to have videos, the way Patreon works is pretty cool. When you see the video, you just press play, and then you can cast it to your television or your Roku, your Apple TV, like whichever you want. And so it's like this, but on TV.
Whoa. Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. All right.
Patreon for that. That's with everything else.
Yeah, everything's on Patreon. All the good stuff's on Patreon. Patreon. Actually, I shouldn't say all the good stuff. All the good stuff is on the podcast, but there's a lot of fun extra things.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, so this question comes from Allison King. Allison King is really good. She always asks us lots of interesting
like
questions.
Allison King.
So she says, do you guys read? And if so, have you read anything good lately? Which Bravo Loves book would you be tempted to read? This could be anyone who has or has not yet written a book. Caroline Fleming, Captain Lee, Captain Sandy. I'll answer first because mine's quick. I'm trying to read more, but I'm really, really been really slow at it. However, I do have Caroline Fleming's cookbook, and I actually have yet to cook from it. And the book does crack me up because it's so Caroline Fleming-y. So I am pledging to cook some of her recipes very soon and talk about them on the podcast, which is a little different from reading from a book, but it's sort of in the same vein. So, but I will be using her book. So that's my Bravo Lady
Yeah,
book.
You'll be reading. Yeah, that's reading a book. That counts. Yeah.
I'll have to read those words.
I read a ton. I read a lot of books. I just finished one called Remember Me, which is kind of a psychological thriller. That's kind of all I read. And I read a Leanne Moriarty book. She's the one who wrote Big Little Lies. It was called The Husband's Secret.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't as good as Big Little Lies, but it was still pretty fun. Mm-hmm. And now I'm reading one called... What is it called? I don't know what it's called. But it's... I never know the titles because, you know, on the Kindle, once you're reading a book, you're just reading the book. Like, there's a setting where you can have the title on the page, but I don't have that on. I just like the page. But it's really good, and I just you know what? I'll have a better answer next time. I need to look at my Kindle.
Yeah.
As far as who I would read, not really any interest because I think they're all ghostwritten and they're bullshit. I tried reading a little of Ramona Singer's, and that is just a bunch of hogwash. Okay.
Right.
But I do just people that we know. I would like to. I still haven't read Leah Black's book. I'm terrible. I have it over there. I haven't read Kate Chastain's book, Lucky Charming. Mm-hmm. Which is horrible. It should be, you know, it should be supportive.
Right. Well, that's okay. There's plenty of time, and there are plenty of books, and we will get to all the books that we need. So then one more question from Allison King real quickly, and then we'll do one after that, and then we are done with this sad mailbag. No, it was happy mailbag, because it was so big, but it's like this poor mailbag. I feel like people have been waiting, like... What am I talking about? Okay, I'm caffeinated. I don't know why I'm like talking about this actual mailbag.
You mean
like,
it's sad because it's like, wait, it's over now, right?
Yeah. That's what I meant. I was like, didn't mean to make it sound like the contents.
I'm with you.
Sorry. So Allison says, if you're on a yacht, what ridiculously and unnecessarily complicated drink would you order? Any dietary restrictions? What else would be on your preference sheet?
M&M's, peanut M&M's, bread, like delicious breads, croissant, cheese, fish, and I really like bar soap. I don't want liquid soap with scrunchies or what are those scrub things called? Loofahs. Mm-hmm. I want bar soap, okay? Hotels everywhere around the world, bar soap. And I would also like firm pillows. I don't want these cheap-ass piece of crap pillows that you often get in hotels and stuff. I'm assuming boats. And I think that would do it for me. Oh, somewhere to plug in our Nintendo Switch so we could keep playing Zelda. Because, you know, I love me some Zelda!
You know, and right before this podcast, I started downloading the new Super Mario Wii U Deluxe thing or whatever. So I'm, like, going to play that right away. I probably, for my cocktail, I'd probably just be happy with, like a spicy margarita with mezcal. I could just probably have those, and I want to have Jack and Cokes. People think that I only drink Bud Light.
I've seen you drink a Jack and Coke, actually.
Are you crazy?
I'm not.
Jack and Diet Coke is actually my standard. Like, I don't know what to order at the bar, so I'll just get this.
That's what Darren drinks, my friend Darren. Oh my God, you got this so close.
I used to be more of a vodka tonic sort of guy, but I sort of moved out of that, and so now I'm a Jack and Diet Coke. I've been in that space for about like 6 years or so.
Sorry, Darren is a captain in diet. Never mind. Sorry.
Like a rum and Coke. Most people think I only drink Bud Light because that's what I drink at our shows. But I only do that Bud Light, if I went like cocktails at our show, I probably would get a lot drunker a lot faster, and I like to sort of keep it together. So, and I love Bud Light. But then my preference is, you know, there would have to be, I think about this, no berries whatsoever, no berries.
Yeah.
No stone fruit, except mango. I'm down with mango, but I don't want any peaches. I don't want any apricots. I like plums. I'm down with plums. I'm not going to do blanket and no stone fruit, but I do not want peaches. I do not want nectarines, things like that. But I'm down with a plum or a pluot and a mango. And I'm trying to think of what the other no's are. Those are my big no's. My big, big no's are those things. And then I want lots of chocolate, and I would be the one who's like, I want lobster, I want caviar, I want like all the bougie stuff, like uni. I love all that shit. I want champagne. I like it. I got expensive taste.
Yeah, I'm with you. That all sounds good to me, and I would go in with you on the no berries just to be support.
You'd be with what? No berries?
Just to be support.
Oh, that's sweet. You're sweet, Ronnie. Okay, one.
I know, right?
Okay, our final question of this mailbag session, and we start up a new mailbag. Dash Cat says, and this is from 2 days ago, quick question for Ronnie, gentlemen. Ronnie, you've mentioned that you were named after your mother, Rhonda, but why did your parents decide on Rondell? And by the way, Dash Cat spelled it R-O-N-D-E-L-L, and everyone should know it's R-O-N-D-A-L, and not the Rondell. More common Ronald. I've just always wondered about that because I have no life. and so he doesn't feel left out. Ben, what did you have for lunch today? I haven't had lunch yet, so I can tell you
no,
I made eggs.
Man.
I made scrambled eggs and I had a side of cashews for breakfast, so there's that.
Yeah, you're ready to get the hell out of here then.
I'm actually okay for right now.
Well, let me think here.
Why Rondell?
So I joke that I was named after my mother because I just think it's so funny that she's Rhonda and I have an L at the end and I'm Rondell and like we're the same personality and I'm like, oh my God, I'm becoming my mother. You know, very stereotypical faggito burrito. But the truth is, my papa is named Rondell. And really? So when my mom was born, they thought they were going to have a boy for whatever reason. I guess because prayer, jerks. But she was a girl. She took off an L. And then they added back an L for me. So in my family, we have Rondell, Rhonda, and Rondell.
Wait. Your dad is
No, my papa. So
oh, your
my
papa
is my
your
grandpa.
Grandfather's
that's my,
Rondel.
That's my yeah. That's my mom's dad.
Oh, your mom's dad is named Rondel.
Yes, that's the white side of the family.
But what,
he's Rondel.
But now here's, I guess, the question though is the name Rondal. That's like not a common. Normally, as
it doesn't sound common. It's not like keychain in a gift store common. But I'm Southern, you
right.
know. And actually, he's from Indiana, so there's all kinds of names. It's like oh. Rondel, Martel, Perkle. There's like a lot of names with "ol" at the end for
so
whatever
reason. I always thought Rondel was like a Lebanese name or something because it's like it's not Randall and it's not.
No,
Rondel
is like super white. That's like super, super hick white. No, I shouldn't say hick because people are like, I'm from Indiana, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then my middle name is Wadea, which is Lebanese. That's
okay.
That means humble in Arabic. But it's also they use it for Eddie. My dad's name is Eddie. So my middle name is kind of Eddie. That's why I told you we kind of have the same middle name, except mine's in a different language.
That's so funny. Yeah, mine's Benjamin Edward Mandelker, but
yeah,
no.
So I would be Edward.
My middle name, so it's kind of funny. My parents wanted to give like homage to my late Aunt Frida. Because Frida would apparently come and haunt my parents in like pleasant ways, like turn on the vacuum cleaner in the middle of the night, you know,
oh,
things
that's
like that.
Cute. And a cleaning ghost. I want that.
Yeah, she was a cleaning ghost. And so they wanted my middle name to start with an F to sort of like, it was like a little homage to Aunt Frida. So they were going to name me Benjamin Franklin Mandelker, but then they thought I'd get made fun of. So they decided, well, they'll just go like F, and then we'll just go up. We'll just sort of like adjust one letter. We'll adjust it to an E, and then I became Benjamin Edward. And if I had been a lady,
cute.
I would have been Rachel. My name would have been Rachel, which is kind of funny. I never.
That is cute. I like that we have the same middle name. I think that it was like destiny.
It is destiny. Oh wow,
guys,
that's so funny. Well, we've all learned about each
stripper
other.
Stripper in Egypt. Okay.
Well, in high school, guess what? I made a video. We had to make little videos for class, and I made one about a girl named Rachel Destiny. So here, all full circle. I was going to be named Rachel Destiny. See?
Rachel Destiny. Whoa.
Yeah.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Watch What Crappens. Those tickets for Cincinnati and Portland are selling like hotcakes.
Yeah.
So go get those tickets. Also, Dallas is coming so soon. Get your effing tickets for Dallas already. What do we got to do? Dallas, we're doing Below Deck for our first show on Friday night, and our second show will be a classic Dallas episode. So this is going to be our first – oh, that's going to be our second Below Deck recap, isn't it, Ben, by then?
It is. Yeah, because we're doing one in Charleston is going to be our first Below Deck recap.
Yeah, but go – anyway, just come, you guys. And then the Canada – a comedy festival just for laughs in Canada. Oh, wow. What
yeah, you got to come to that, so. Because we also, it's, like, important for us to, like, pull in a big crowd so that way we look really cool in front of all the famous people. Dave Attell's going to be there. Dave Attell is one of my favorite comedians. I used to love his show, and he's going to be at this comedy festival, so I'm really excited that...
Baller.
Yeah. So, I think that's pretty much it. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. We're back on Monday. I feel like there was something else notable to say, but we'll just say it on Monday then, but... There'll be more shows, more excitement, more things to shill, as usual. Big hugs to you, Ronnie. Thank you, everyone on TV Party. Sorry my feed flunked out there at the end. Sorry. Talk to y'all later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.